In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was in graduate school and teaching college classes of the science, I developed a bad habit of asking rhetorical questions. What, you may ask, is a rhetorical question? Well, that was just one. It's one where you use it to advance your point, but don't really expect an answer. And as a priest, I learned to be more careful about asking rhetorical questions because children tend to answer them in unsuspecting ways. So let us begin with a rhetorical question. What is Christmas about? If we did a survey, not just here, but out on the street, there would be many different answers, and a surprising number of them would be grossly wrong. Some people might say that Christmas is about family and friends. Now, not that family and friends are necessarily a bad thing. Well, sometimes. But Christmas is not about family and friends. Some people may say that Christmas is about time off of work or school. Well, for you, it might be about time off of work or school, but that's not what it's really about. For some people, it's an opportunity to take a really nifty vacation. I've never understood that. Christmas is a time to be home, or someone's home. Grandma, grandpa's, cousin Clark's, you know, any of those. But I've never understood going on a really spiffy ski vacation on Christmas. For some people, Christmas may be about 24 hours of a Christmas story. We're probably about halfway in right now. And Christmas, for some people, is about snow. What happened to our lovely snow? It turned to rain. If I wanted to live in Oregon, I would have. Now, some people might answer something in a way that's closer to the truth, but still not there yet. They may say Christmas is about lights. You all have that neighbor, don't you? The one who creates air navigation hazards every December. Or they may say Christmas is about presents. You know, people like this, they put on their combat gear and their padding, and they go to do battle in Walmart every Black Friday. None of these is what Christmas is all about. You want a hint? Remember your childhood, or the childhood of many of us, the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Remember what Linus talked about from the stage? Now, Christmas is not about Linus, it's not about Charlie Brown, it's not even about Snoopy, but it is about the story of the Christ child, or rather, it is about the Christ child himself. Because Christmas is about Christ. First and foremost, always and everywhere. We used to joke in the seminary that if you forgot an answer on a test, the thing to do was to write down Jesus and you would probably get partial credit. The answer to this is Jesus, and you get full credit. Today we hear the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is so wonderful and so complex that it cannot be done in just a set of three readings, like an ordinary Mass. And so we have four different Masses for this day, each with its own set of readings, each of which tells part of the story of God emptying himself of glory and taking on for himself, for us, our frail human nature. If you had been at the Vigil Mass last night, you would have heard the deacon's nightmare gospel, the genealogy of Christ, all those wonderful Old Testament names, and also the story of the Annunciation. At midnight, you would have heard of the journey of Mary and Joseph from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to be taxed, and how she gave birth in the stable because the inn was crowded and there wasn't enough room, and wouldn't be an appropriate place for her to give birth. This morning we heard about how the shepherds, having heard the message from the army of heaven, went to the manger and saw the Christ child and believed. And at this Mass we hear the truth which undergirds all of it, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a wonderful story, and it is a rich story. And one of the sad things is that every year someone tries to make it about something other than what it is about. Some years we hear, well, it's about the homeless. No, Mary and Jesus had a home. They just had to leave it to go be taxed. Or that they were refugees. No. Maybe part of the witness protection program after they fled to Egypt. But that would be the closest analogy. And Mary and Jesus are not migrants. Don't twist the Christmas story to fit your agenda. Instead, open your mind and heart to the wonderful thing that God is doing for the entire human race. It is about Christ. It is about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Now, every Sunday, every solemnity, we profess the Catholic faith to the world by reciting the Creed. Ordinarily, in honor of the Incarnation, we bow, but on this day, we genuflect in honor of the earth-shattering reality, which is the Incarnation. Not just earth-shattering, universe-shattering, but in a good way. Because the Incarnation makes all the other events of our salvation possible. The Word became flesh so that we could hear from the mouth of God about God Himself and His plan for us. In these last of days, we hear from the Son. Because the Word became flesh, we are able to receive God's own life through the sacraments which Jesus established while He was here on earth and entrusted to Holy Mother Church. Because the Word became flesh, there was one who could pay the debt of sin and through His cross defeat the devil. And through the Incarnation, Christ defeated death and opened the gates of heaven for us. This day, God gives us Himself to change us so that we may be with Him forever. But there are all sorts of really wonderful things surrounding the celebration of Christmas. Family, friends, presents, lights. There was even a fellow here last night with the most amazing, ugly sweater. Kansas City Chiefs sweater, Christmas sweater, and it lit up. I made him stand up and show everybody, because it was truly amazing. Now, all of these wonderful things, they need to point us to the central reality of Christmas, to remind us of the babe in the manger. But our hearts and minds do not stay in Bethlehem. They journey with Christ back to Nazareth, where He grew and He worked. We need to allow our hearts and minds to be led following Christ on His public ministry. And then to Golgotha, where He dies upon the cross, and to the tomb which is empty, where He defeats death, and yes, even to the throne in heaven, where Christ rules all things, and we await His coming in glory. 2,000 years ago, God gave us a gift, and it is truly the gift which keeps on giving. because it gives us communion with the angels and the saints, and it gives us communion with God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.